Welcome to the Vision Church Podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
Good morning and welcome to the Vision Church broadcast. Hope you guys are having an amazing Mother's Day today. We love and miss every single one of you. We cannot wait till we'll be able to be back together again as one body, one church family. We cannot wait. This morning, if you're tuning in for the first time, I want to welcome you to the future home of Vision Church. We are right now broadcasting from a construction zone at 1134 West Boulevard. We are actually coming to you this morning from our Vision Kids Chapel. And this is going to be a space where your children experience the love and the power of the gospel. And we just cannot wait for this place to be transformed. The construction, we just completed our fourth week of construction. Can you believe it? Week four is underway. It is moving quickly. And they're saying that at some point this fall, this is going to be the home of Vision Church. Hey, if you have your Bible, we're going to jump right in this morning. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to begin in verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. Before I read it, I want to take a second to pray over you, and then we'll jump in. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, the name that truly is above every other name. And God, I pray that this morning that you would just flow through this technology. You would touch every person that is tuned into this broadcast, Lord, right now, and those that will watch later. I pray, God, that you would move in conviction and in power, in hope, in faith. I pray that you would fill us, God, with a holy confidence to live out this life the way you call us to. Jesus, may I be hidden behind your cross. Father, be glorified greatly. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. I want to take a second to glorify Jesus above every other name. Today, we're not here to glorify anybody but the name of Jesus. Also, one more thing real quick before I read Matthew 6. I want to give you an update. Back on Easter, we announced that we are launching the Our Bold Move campaign phase 2, which is the fundraiser to complete this construction project. We set a goal at Easter to raise $200,000. And so far, we have raised $28,916. My goodness. Come on, somebody, and praise the Lord with me. That is phenomenal. We're well over 10% of the way there already in just about a month. So thank you guys so much for your generosity and your faithfulness to giving. We're going to complete this project, and we will transform this space so that lives will be transformed in it. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. This morning's sermon, I'm just going to preach a sermon that Jesus preached. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself and shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think that their prayers are answered merely by repeating words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask him. When you pray, pray like this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you about one of Christ's sermons teaching us how to pray. I truly believe that prayer is one of the forgotten tools of Christians today around the world. And it is, without a doubt, the most powerful weapon in the arsenal of a believer. When God envisioned the New Testament church, he didn't say, I'm going to build a church on worship or great preaching or kids programs. No, he said, I will build my house on prayer. May my house be a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves. Jesus was not seeker friendly. He was just coming right at us. And, you know, we tend to read that text in, you know, in the mentality of 2,000 years ago. And we think about just the money changers in the temple who were, you know, selling goods. But the truth is that we truly today have made his house a den of thieves. We've made it about consumerism. We've made it about how God can bless us, how God can benefit us and meet our needs. We've made Christianity convenient, and we've made it all about us. God, forgive us and have mercy for making church and your house about us and about us being blessed and how we can benefit from the gospel. Lord, forgive us, and may we return your house to a house of prayer. And I'm praying and believing that at Vision Church, we're going to raise up people who are prayer warriors, people who are confident in their faith, and they're confident and they're equipped to pray for other people, to pray for the situations going on around in the world. And I'm praying that we're going to be a praying church. Come on, somebody, if you believe it, in the comment section, tell them I'm going to be a prayer warrior. We're going to step up our prayer game. Come on, somebody. That's what we're called to do. Dr. Martin Luther King is famously quoted as saying, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than being alive without breathing. To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Dr. Martin Luther King had a profound impact on the world, and that statement is that prayer is the oxygen. It is the lifeline to the spiritual development and existence of every Christian and believer on planet Earth. Over the next few moments, I'm going to take five key principles from this text that we just read. And by the way, I could do a whole lot more, but I just want to keep you here for 3 hours. So that's why I'm only going to give you five. But the first thing I want to draw your attention to is in Matthew 6:5, when Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly and on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, this is all the reward they will ever get. The first point that I want to mention today is don't pray to be seen. Don't pray to be seen or applauded by men. At this time in the Jewish culture, it was a normal custom for them to pray at a specific time throughout the day. They would literally stop whatever they were doing, wherever they were. If they were in the marketplace, if they were in the temple, if they were working or at home, they would literally stop multiple times throughout the day and pray in holy reverence to God. In fact, many other religions around the world still do the very same thing. In Islam, they do the exact same thing. But the Pharisees had a way of just strategically being in the right place at the right time, and they would just so happen to be in the most visible places at prayer time. They would be right at the corner of the busiest streets. They would be right there on the highest platform. They were always wanting to be noticed. And Jesus was addressing their hearts. He was saying, you are like a hypocrite. You have no interest in truly reaching God. You only want to appear more spiritual before men. And the truth is that prayer is a holy connection, a holy relationship between us and God the Father. It's not about impressing the people that are around us. Jesus warned us, don't pray to be seen. Don't be like a hypocrite. Pray privately, not just publicly. Don't just try to impress people, but pray as though you're reaching out to the very heart of God. I want to draw your attention to this. Jesus said to them something very powerful. He said, if you pray like a hypocrite, if you just pray publicly and you neglect me privately, he said, watch this, That is the only reward you will ever get. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you're praying with the wrong motive to be seen and to be, you know, impress other people with how holy you are, then I will not hear your prayer. That's the only reward you will get is their applause. The only reward you will get is their adoration. Oh, wow, she's really spiritual. Wow, he's really spiritual. That is your reward, period. The end of the story. Heaven is not listening to prayers that are lifted with a false motivation. Let us not pray to be seen by men, but to be heard by God. I think this is a stern warning to all of us this morning that we should examine our heart. What is the motivation behind our prayer? Is the motivation of our prayer to be seen by other people? Is the motivation of our prayer to be applauded or to be benefited to like another consumer, how God can bless me and enrich me? Or is my prayer to be closer to God? Is my prayer to be more united with his heart? We'll talk a little bit more about the purpose of prayer in a few moments. I want to ask you a question. And don't lie to me now. Don't lie to me. You don't have to put this in the comment section, all right? But just think about this internally. I want you to examine your heart. Do you pray more publicly or privately? Do you pray more when everybody's watching? Or do you pray more when you're all alone and nobody's there to take notice? Because if the answer is that you only pray when people are watching, there's something that needs to change inside of us. And I'm just preaching to myself right now. We've all got to examine our hearts here and say, what is the real motive behind all of the praying that we're doing? Don't pray to be seen. If you have your Bible, turn with me another place. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 10. I want to show you something just phenomenal. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 10. This is another story Jesus told. Two men went to the temple to pray, and one was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I'm not like this sinner, like everyone else, for I don't cheat, I don't sin, I don't commit adultery. I'm not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Don't pray to be seen, and don't pray like a hypocrite. Don't pray like a Pharisee. Watch what this Pharisee did. He literally prayed in the temple, and he said, "Thank God I'm not like this tax collector. Thank you, God, that I'm not a sinner like everybody else." He was pious and self-righteous, and he thought that he was holier than other people. And he was being lulled to sleep by a false sense of security. He was deceiving himself by thinking that he was more holy or more righteous because of the things that he did or didn't do. I want to warn you that any of you who begin to think you're a little too much of yourself, you begin to think a little, well, I fast, I pray, I tithe. I want you to understand that we don't approach God's presence because of our holiness. It is not your good deeds that allow God to hear you. The Bible warns us that all of us are wicked, all of us are unrighteous, all of us are sinners. There is not one of us that is more deserving to be in the presence of God than anybody else. The foot is level at the foot of the cross, and God is no respecter of persons. You are not heard by God because you didn't sin for 7 days or for 3 days or for 3 hours you had pure thoughts. Your righteousness is not what enables heaven to hear you. It is the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ and coming to God by faith. But I want to warn you today that the heart God is looking for is a heart of humility, a heart that doesn't need to be seen or noticed by everybody else, a heart that confesses they're a sinner. You know, Jesus said something powerful. He said, I've come for the sick, not for the well, not for the healthy. And this confused a lot of people who listened to him preach. They were like, what do you mean he came for the sick? The truth is, Jesus was saying, I came for the spiritually sick. And all of us are sick, just not everybody realizes it. The Pharisees were sick with the same sinful heart and wicked desires as the tax collector. The Pharisees were just as sick as he was. They just didn't know it. They were blinded by their own good deeds. They were blinded by their own self-righteousness. And may we remember today in prayer that we are all sinners. We are all sick and in need of a touch from the healer. The next thing I want to show you is found in verse 6 of Matthew 6. And I want you to look at this again. He says, when you pray, go away by yourself and shut the door behind you and pray to the Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. The second of the 5 points today is remove all distractions. Remove all distractions. Shut the door on the distractions and the chaos of the world in which we live. Many historians believe that nearly every Jewish house in this time period had a secret place, or at least a place that was devoted to prayer. For some houses, it was on the rooftop. They would literally go up to the flat roof, and that's where they would go to escape the distractions of the world, the chaos and the busyness of the village, and to get alone with God in prayer. Jesus is instructing us that we cannot pray and be distracted at the same time. We've got to set aside our distractions. Take your cell phone and drop kick it. Don't drop kick it too hard. They're expensive. But take your iPad, take your laptop, and put it in another room, in another place. Put your phone on airplane mode. Do whatever you got to do. Get off Instagram for a little bit. Shut down Facebook. I promise you're not going to miss that much. Okay? Everybody has FOMO today. They're afraid of missing out. Just remove your distractions. Get alone with God somewhere in your house. Even if you have to go for a walk, do what you got to do to get alone with the Father and watch him show up in your life. And I'm going to tell you something. For me, I don't know about you, but for me, it feels like every single time I try to pray, somebody is like blowing up my phone, or somebody's honking the horn outside, or like knocking at my door. Like, nobody ever comes to my house, but they're like coming, showing up the second I start to pray. There's always going to be distractions. So shut yourself away. And one of the best things that I've found personally is I go on a walk. I'll just take off on a walk. And that'll be one of the best times for me to just disconnect, leave the phone behind, and focus on God in a communication and a relationship with him. Shut out the distractions. Here's the deal. If you're like me, the truth is most of us despise silence. Most of us despise quiet time. We're overstimulated. We're hyped up. We don't like quiet. But here's the truth. In the silence and in the quiet, when we're alone with God, is where we can't hide anything from him. When we're alone with God, we're vulnerable with him. Our conscience is open before him. We can't hide our sin. We can't hide our motives. We can't hide our frustrations. We are vulnerable and open before God when we are alone with him, set aside from distractions. I'm convinced that the reason we're overstimulated and the reason that we are so preoccupied with all the notifications and all the things of technology in the world is all of these distractions are pacifying our convictions. So long as we're busy, so long as we're occupied, we don't have to deal with the bitterness that's in our heart. So long as we're preoccupied, we don't have to truly confess that sin that's going on in our life. I want to encourage you. The word says, be still and know that I am God. It is in the stillness and in the quiet that you experience the power of God in prayer. And it's in that quiet place that we lay vulnerable before God. I'm reminded of a story regarding Moses, as God initially called him to be the deliverer of the Hebrew people. God told Moses, he said, I want you to take your hand and I want you to hide it in your cloak, and then I want you to pull it out. And as Moses did, it was stricken with leprosy, white as snow, boils all over his hand. It was disgusting. It makes me kind of want to just throw up a little bit because I'm not good with medical and blood and stuff like that. Can't handle it. But anyway, Moses pulls out his hand and he sees the leprosy covering his hand. And then he puts it right back into his cloak. And when he pulls it out this time, it's completely healed. There's a powerful principle right here that God is illustrating through the life of Moses. And that is that God will never heal what we refuse to reveal. We've got to be willing to be vulnerable. We've got to be willing to be open and transparent before a holy God. And in that place, in that position of vulnerability, that is where God meets us. And that is where God heals us and delivers us. We must confess our sin. We must confess our faults. We've got to be vulnerable and open to God right where we are. Tell God the truth about where you are and watch God move. And God does his greatest work in our vulnerability. We must reveal the things going on deep within our heart before God. And that happens in that quiet place, in that secret place. And that's where God, like the potter, begins to mold you and shape you and transform your life more and more into his image and likeness. Something else I want to show you is that in this text, Jesus tells us how to pray, but he actually doesn't specify when we should pray. In this time period, like I mentioned earlier, there was a specific time that the Jewish people and the leaders would just stop everything and pray. I believe it's very intentional that Jesus doesn't say, okay, now I expect you to bow in prayer 3 times a day at noon, 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. I think there's a very intentional reason why Jesus doesn't put these legalities and these expectations on us regarding to how often we pray. Yes, the word says that we should pray without ceasing, meaning that we should live with the awareness of God always. But Jesus didn't give us those instructions of specifically when to pray because he wants this to be voluntarily, a voluntary relationship, that we come to him because we want him. We come to him because we love him, not out of obligation or fear. In your prayer life, don't pray because you have to. Don't pray because you ought to. Pray because you want to. Pray because you love him back. And can I just be honest with you? There have been times in my life where I didn't want to pray. Am I allowed to say that into the microphone, on the camera, as a pastor? There have been times in my life I didn't want to pray. I had no desire. But you know what changed my life and my heart? Being vulnerable. And being open and honest with God and saying, God, I know I should pray. I don't want to. I know I should read your word, but I don't have a desire. Change my heart, oh God. Transform me. Give me new desires. And I'm telling you, that is a prayer that I've repeatedly seen and witnessed God answer. And if he's done it for me, he will do it for you. Be honest with him and let us come to God out of a desire for him. Listen, hungry people eat. Thirsty people drink. People that are in need of God, they find him. People that are desperate and really want him and really love him will find him. He said, if you knock, the door will be opened. If you seek me, you will surely find me. If you call on my name, I will answer you. That's the kind of God we have. That's how faithful he is. Come on, somebody, and give him praise that he's a God who never turns his back on you. He's a God who never forsakes us or abandons us. Come on, somebody, and praise the Lord. Take a praise break right now and bless him like he deserves. I love you, Lord. Plus, if Jesus were like, pray 3 times, do it this way, it would be cold and mechanical and harsh and religious, another religious formality. Jesus is setting us free from the cold, harsh, religious formalities and ushering us into a new, genuine, fresh relationship with the living God. The third thing I want to show you is that it's found in verse 7, where, and I love this, I have to read this to you. Listen to the words of Jesus. He says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as some people of other religions do. They think that their prayers are answered merely by repeating words again and again. I love Jesus. He's literally like, don't babble on and on. Like, that's what Jesus said. So the third point is this. It's not about the quantity. It's about the sincerity. It's not about the quantity of your prayers. It's about the sincerity. Jesus is saying, don't babble on and on with empty words. What he's saying is, don't lift me empty words. We've got to connect our heart with our mouth. We've got to actually mean what we say and say what we mean. Vain repetition is exactly that. It's vain, it's empty, it's hollow, it's useless, and God is not moved by it. God is not interested in it. That's why even in worship, we can't just mindlessly sing lyrics off a page or off a screen to God. We gotta mean what we're saying. Jesus is saying, don't babble on and on. Mean what you say. Connect your heart with your mouth. Mean the words that you lift to me. I don't want an empty praise. I don't want an empty prayer. I want it to come from your heart. It's not about quantity. Well, I prayed it 18,000 times. God is looking for your sincerity. That's what he's really after. He heard you the first time. I promise you that. He heard you the first time. Now, that doesn't mean that we pray for somebody one time and then we never pray for them again. Of course not. We should continue to lift people and lift situations before God, absolutely. But I'm just saying we don't lift vain words and just vain, empty thoughts over and over that are repetitive that don't move God. Think about it in terms of a relationship, okay? Think about it in terms of a relationship, okay? I have a wife, a lovely wife, Christina. She did the MC spot today, and she crushed it, by the way. I'm proud, very proud. But listen to this. If my wife, if I spoke to her in just vain repetition, how would that work? Imagine this. If I was like, hi, how was your day? Hope it was great. Hi, how was your day? Hope it was great. And then she responds, and she's like, I had a terrible day. It was the worst day ever. And then I go, hi, how was your day? Hope it was great. She's like, did you not hear me? I'd be like, hi, how's your day? Hope it was great. Do you see how crazy that is? Do you see how annoying that is? How disconnected and unrelatable that is? Well, that's what we do to God when we just go through mindless, vain repetition. If I talked to my wife that way, she would genuinely wonder and worry about me. She'd be like, what is wrong with this dude? It would show that I was disingenuous. And listen, if you were raised in a faith that taught you to do that, I'm not condemning you. I'm not. I'm just showing you the word of God. And today, let that be the last day that you just mindlessly, aimlessly, repetitively lift prayer. Mean what you say. Have a conversation with God. He wants a relationship with you where you are vulnerable and you are open with him. And in your vulnerability, he changes things. But it's not about the quantity. It's about the sincerity of our heart. And by the way, while I'm here, let me say this. I also believe that Jesus was saying here when he says, don't just ramble on and on. Don't just babble on and on. I truly believe what he was saying here is that we should limit our talking during times of prayer. In other words, don't do all the talking. In a relationship, it involves some talking, but it also involves listening. If your prayer life just looks like you reading off a monumental list, like a Christmas list of an 8-year-old, if that's what it looks like, I hate to break it to you, but you're doing it wrong. Don't do all the talking. Don't babble on and on and on. In a communication, in a relationship, the majority of communication is listening. Listening to God. Now, I know people get really tripped out when we talk about listening to God and hearing from God. And can I just tell you what it looks like for me? And, you know, and I believe God can speak to anybody. And I believe that God is always speaking. The question is, are we listening? That's the real question. People say, well, God doesn't speak to me. God hadn't spoken to me in 13 years. Well, when was the last time you listened? When was the last time you shut away distractions? You stopped trying to impress people and you went away and got alone with God and you were just still, be quiet in the presence of God, because in the stillness, you will find him. For me, here's what it looks like. God does not speak to me in an audible voice. Okay, like I don't hear this booming, thundering voice like, Tyson, turn left, go to that gas station, talk to the man. For me, that's just not what happens, okay? Maybe he'll do that one day. For me, it's just not what happens. But for me, God definitely speaks to me through his word. And in times of prayer, and in times where I isolate myself from distractions, God recalls his word to me. He recalls something I read in Psalms. He recalls something I read in Proverbs. He brings his word back into the forefront of my memory. And that is what gives me the direction and the guidance that I need for that decision, that I need for that moment. God recalls his word in prayer. And by the way, God will never speak to you something that is not in his word. God will never ask you or tell you to do something that is contrary to his word. So whenever y'all start coming to me with all this random stuff, like if it's not backed in the word, if it's not coded in the word, covered in his spirit, God didn't say it. If it's something that is contrary to the scripture, it wasn't God. Hate to break it to you, but just if you don't know, now you know. God will never contradict his word. And I got to say this too, right here while I'm here. Eloquence does not equal effectiveness. Some people tell me, they said, well, you know, Pastor T, like, I'm not good at praying. And I'm just going to warn you, please don't ever say that to me. Because if you say that to me, I will call you out front and center. I'll be like, today, John is going to pray for the whole church right now. Because he thinks he's not good at prayer. He's going to pray today. All right. Some of our leaders can attest to this. Okay. Because there's no such thing as being bad at praying. That's like saying you're bad at breathing. Can you have a conversation? Can you talk to God? Can you be thankful? Of course you can. What you're really saying when you say I'm not good at praying is you're really saying I'm not eloquent. And the last guy that told God I wasn't eloquent got used to deliver a nation. His name was Moses. All right, so don't come at God with this stuff of I can't pray. Yes, you can. It's a conversation with God. Everyone can pray. Everyone can reach God. You just got to start. You got to start. All right, number four. If you're looking at your clock, you know 4 out of 5, we're almost there. I'm trying to land this plane, okay? This is so rich, though, I could go off for like 4 hours, but I will not do it. All right, verse 8, Jesus said, God already knows what you need long before you ask. Man, I love this. He says, God knows what you need long before you ask. It doesn't say God knows what you want long before you ask, even though he knows that too. You know, a lot of times we pray for things we want and God gives us something different. And that's because like any good father, he doesn't give his child everything they want. He gives his child everything they need. But look at this. God knows what you need long before you even ask it. Have you ever stopped to just think like, what is the point of prayer? Like if we're just being real, have you ever just stopped and think, okay, God is all-knowing, he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, he is the Almighty, the Most High God of all creation, knows everything, sees the end from the beginning, and I'm coming to him asking him to pray for somebody. God knows everything before we even bring it to him. So why are we praying? God knew it before you ever asked it, and listen, prayer is not about informing God of what's wrong. Prayer is giving sight to man spiritually. Prayer is about the awareness of our sinfulness. Prayer is about humbling the human heart. Prayer is about renewing and refreshing our desires. Prayer is about aligning our will with his will. Prayer is about redirecting our heart to get in line with his plan. And most importantly, prayer doesn't allow us to compare our problems to ourselves, but prayer compares our problems to our God. See, without praying, I'm left to my own devices to overcome the illness, to overcome the financial uncertainty, to overcome the marital problem on my own. And my problems compared to me are overwhelming, and I stand no chance. Oh, but in prayer, We are not comparing our problems to our limited resources. We are comparing our problems to the Almighty One, the Most High God of all creation, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider, my banner, my righteousness, the one who can move heaven and earth, the one who laid the foundations of the world is now who I compare my problems to. It fills me with faith and with confidence and assurance that God is able. And what problems may have overwhelmed me are nothing more than just the dust at his feet. You serve a great and mighty God who is undefeated. He has never lost a battle. He has never been defeated. He is the ultimate victorious God. And I just wish I get somebody at Vision Church who would give him praise right now like you mean it. Come on, somebody, light up the comment section. Press the little heart button, the like thing. Do something. Respond to his word and give him some digital praise. Come on, somebody. He is a great and mighty God. He knows what you need long before you ask it. I'm gonna tell a story right now. As you know, we're in the middle of a construction project, and it's very expensive to build anything, okay? And we've been praying for a miracle. We've been praying that our building would come in under budget and ahead of schedule, which is a crazy thing to pray, but that's just the kind of faith we have. God gave us faith and we're crazy with it. One of the most expensive line items on our building budget was our HVAC system, the heating and cooling system. If I told you how much it was, you might faint, so I'm not gonna tell you, but it's a lot. It's six figures, a lot of figures, okay? Just to heat and cool this entire facility. 2 weeks ago, I got an email right after we did the give back. Remember when COVID-19 just started, we felt compelled as a church to give back $20,000 from our general operating account to help families that were in need. And to God be the glory, we were able to help 54 families. Thank you, Lord. And we were sowing generously because we gave out of our need, knowing that we need to raise $200,000. So we gave out of our need, knowing that God blesses those who sow generously. So we did it. We followed the principles of his word. I got an email 2 weeks ago from an air conditioning company here in Charlotte that said, "Hey, Pastor, not sure if you could use this or not, but we have 5 brand new, never used, huge, massive commercial HVAC units that we're looking to donate." I was like, "Do I know somebody? Are you kidding me? Right here." I told him, I was like, "You would be the answer to prayer for this campus. You could save us a tremendous amount of money." And long story short, I'm pleased to tell you that the Lord has provided 4 brand new commercial HVAC units. And listen to the story. He told me that they've had them for over a year. They tried to donate them to this charity, tried to donate them to this one. They were going to send it to a church in Central America, and they couldn't get through customs. So they literally didn't know what to do with these units for over a year. They were about to just give them to scrap. But something told one of the employees, "Nope, God's going to do something with this. It's for a church." So listen to this. God started to work our miracle a year ago. Before we ever knew the budget crisis, before we ever knew the need, God started before we ever lifted the prayer a year ago to bring our provision, to bring the answer to our prayer a year ago. It was set in motion before we ever knew the need, before we ever lifted the prayer. Come on, somebody. He is a faithful God. He is a miracle-working God. This kind of stuff just does not happen. But if God be for you, who in the world could be against you? Let's give him praise one more time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I had a 5th point, but to be honest with you, I'm going to save it for next week, and I'm just going to continue right along in Matthew chapter 6 next week for the sake of time, because this point is just so hype. It's so powerful. I don't want to rush it. So right now, I just want to encourage you, pray with me right now, and let's thank God. Let's give him praise for what a mighty God he is. Let's go before him in prayer right now. Father, we come to you in the wonderful name of Jesus, and we love you so much. We are so incredibly grateful for who you are. God, you are holy, you are worthy, and we are sinful. We are like the wretched publican tax collector in Luke 18. We are miserable and we have fallen short of your glorious standard. And even the best among us have sinned greatly, for Romans tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Today, Father, we recognize our sinfulness. We recognize our need for you. And Lord, today we thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus Christ. For you so loved the world, Father, that you sent your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to become our sin on the cross so that we could be counted among the righteous. As his blood was shed and the nails were pierced through his hands and feet, he bled out for our redemption, for our salvation, that our sins would be washed away. And Lord, we worship you and we adore you for that. Thank you for sending your son, Christ Jesus, who was willing to die for us. And 3 days later, he resurrected from the dead. The grave could not hold him. Death could not stop him, for he is the victorious one. He has overcome the world. And Lord, today we confess our sin. We repent before a holy God, and we ask you, Lord, to empower us by your Spirit to follow you and to serve you all the days of our life. God, strip us from the selfish ambition. Strip us from the selfish motivations to be seen and applauded by men. And Lord, may we be a people that are after your heart. May we be a people of prayer. And may in Vision Church, you raise up a mighty army of prayer warriors. And may we be a church that's not known for good preaching and good music and all that stuff. May we be a church that is known for your presence. We are a people of your presence. That when people walk into this new campus, they can't help but be convicted and overwhelmed by the sweetness and the goodness of your presence. Lord, may your presence permeate the living rooms of your people that are watching right now. God, be with us. Be our ever-present help in our time of need. And God, we will forever compare our problems to you and not our own limitations. We love you. We bless you, Lord. It is in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Thank y'all so much for watching today. Have yourself a wonderful Mother's Day. Do something nice for your mama. We love you. I love you, Mom. And I love you, Linda. I got two moms and I just love y'all. And actually, I got a third mom, Julia, my mother-in-law. I've been blessed with three amazing mothers. Love all three of you. God bless you. Have a wonderful Mother's Day.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you would like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.